Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Healthcare Consultants Podcast, brought to you by the Chicago Health Law and Professional Licensing Firm of Michael Vifavia and Associates. This is your host, Nick Augustine, and today our guest is Rob Johnson from Rob Johnson Communications. Many know Rob from his career in television and journalism and enjoyed watching him and anchor on CBS Channel 2 in Chicago. Today, Rob is going to tell us how he is working to help nonprofits with virtual fundraising events, a new normal in 2020, and something we can all incorporate into in-person events as we move forward into the new year. Let's say good afternoon to Rob Johnson.
Hey, thanks for having me, Nick. Great to be here with you, and can't wait to get this thing going.
All right. Well, Rob, we all know that you've been very involved in a lot of events, and I'm sure that your own calendar this year has been a little bit empty because people have been trying to figure out, how do we still have our events? How do we raise money for our very important foundations and those who we support where we can't go anywhere?
Yeah, it's really true. I told people during a regular year, I used to MC or be a part of 75 events a year. So most of it was MCing something, and then I'm always on several charitable boards right now, Concussion Legacy Foundation, Special Olympics Illinois, and the Associated Colleges of Illinois, and Mission NEAM 5. So actually four of them right now. And so I've always been associated with that, and I've always loved raising the awareness about a cause and helping raise money and that sort of thing. And you're right, 2020 just threw it all on its ear. And a lot of places, you know, they said, we can't have in-person events. So what do we do? A lot of places decided to punt till 2021, which I think presents a real challenge because you're not on people's minds. And some of the really good organizations, some of the ones that I've been associated with, said, we're going to work through this. I'll give you a quick example. Special Olympics Illinois, when the pandemic first hit, they said, you know, hey, we need to we have an event that's usually in the spring. Well, we got to push it to the fall. And then they said, what are we going to do about raising money? But instead of worrying about raising money right off the bat, they said, let's just get out there. Let's create content for all of our community, for the people, for the parents, the athletes, for the supporters, and let's do that. So I was helping them do videos related to, you know, reading books to children, special Olympians, or just giving an inspirational message, just creating content on the website to try to keep you in the forefront of people's minds. And then came late summer, early fall, and it's like, okay, we got to raise money now. And so that was, you know, that presented a huge challenge. So it depends on what you want to do. If you want to be creative, you want to have some of these online, and a few places did, and I really applaud them. And so what I helped some organizations do was produce and in some cases host virtual fundraisers. So there would be, say, 300-400 people online, and then you'd have a couple people in a studio, mostly taped. Maybe you do a couple of live elements, but a very small handful of people that had COVID tests and all that sort of thing to make sure they're okay to go on site and to remain, you know, socially distanced. But that really showed determination, and it showed creativity. And I tell you, every group that I was associated with raised more money than they thought they would. And more importantly, they engaged their supporters and they showed them, hey, it's a pandemic. It's not easy. We're not all together. But, you know, out of the pandemic, for a couple of these organizations came the realization that, you know, we would always have an event in Chicago and it would be on, say, May 9th. And you'd show up, or if you couldn't, you couldn't. And that was it. Now you have a virtual audience. You have supporters. You have supporters in Florida and New York and elsewhere. They can join the party. And that's what these organizations learned that had a virtual fundraiser. Oh, my goodness. We have people, you know, if you're in London or if you're in Philadelphia, you can attend this. And I think it made a huge difference. And I know that some of these people that are moving forward to thinking about their events in 2021 are saying, how can we sort of have a live event that has entertainment and information and lots of good feeling, but how do we do it where we keep our virtual component? Because we don't want to give that up. Now that we have all these potential supporters that can just log on and go, we want them to have the ability to do so.
I think it's such an opportunity for so many people. And as I listen to you right now, I'm listening from my hat as someone on a charity board And I know that the things that we talk about is we have our people every year who come to this gala event, and we know that if they're not going to our event, their money is going to be allocated possibly to another event. So I might sit here saying, I think that's great, Rob, and some great organizations have done that. But what if my organization is a little bit smaller? I already have people. I need to encourage them to get to the buy-in level. And once they say, okay, we're going to buy in, the fear level sets in because no one wants to screw it up. And everyone says, we're going to watch everyone else try to do it first. How are they doing it? So from big groups to smaller groups, someone has to be the leader, set out a way that these things can get put together. So how can we do this from a large scale to a small scale? And if, you know, people also, I can hear them saying, and you answered this wonderfully, about incorporating these things into 2021 as we move forward, because some people may say, well, look at how much of our budget is going to go for recording, production, and the consultants that make this all happen. What are we going to do then when we want to incorporate that and people expect some of that, and now we've got to pay for room space in the future? There's a lot of moving parts there, and I see a lot of people watching others and how they're doing it, and they're taking notes.
Well, if you're going to stream it, that means you need to have the capability in the room to do that. I would call it a smaller production expense than you would normally see. The ones that we were doing, we needed, you know, cameras, and we needed teleprompters, and we needed, you know, all this sort of capability. But in this year, when nobody was on site, you save money on hotel expense, no food expense, no booze expense, all the things that are big expenses that you were incurring, you weren't incurring this year. And I understand what you're saying, Nick, about next year. But what I'm saying is you need to have some sort of buy-in where maybe somebody underwrites the production component of it. Because if you do want to have it be just a stream of your live event so people elsewhere can see it, that's not a huge technical undertaking. You don't need to, you know, have the whole production crew there. If you are going to do something in the effort, the way that we did it in 2020, yes, you do need a little bit more production crew, and yes, there's a little bit more expense there. But again, in 2020, you were saving money on other things and spending it on production. But 2021, if you're having to get the hotel room, if you're having to get the ballroom, whatever it is, the dinner, the food, all that sort of thing, and production, I think if you're thinking along the lines of streaming, it won't be a huge technical undertaking. So I would say, if that's where your head is at, and you don't want to give up that sort of national or even international audience that you realize you had this year, that's the way to do it.
Here's another question. When we're planning our fundraising events, we have a lot of overhead and a lot of things to think about and moving parts. Not only, as you said, the dinner, but there's also the venue, of course. There's also the goodie bags, the flowers, a lot of those things that people put together, and the people like having those little things. And, you know, do you still, I mean, we're not having a dinner in front of us. Are we at how have people incorporated any of those other things in it? You know, this maybe suggest like a menu. Everyone should have a menu like this. Or, I mean, cause I see pictures of people with placemats and food sitting in front of their computer, and they're eating while they're having a speaker, and they're saying, I'm going to make the best of this. And I've seen people actually take selfies of, I'm at a virtual event, and I have my champagne and everything that I would have. And it's kind of a fun way to still make light of the fact that we're all online. I mean, there's got to be ways to do little things that still make it neat and fun and encourage people. And they say, this was really fun to attend, because otherwise, as someone who's going to attend event, what stops me from saying, well, I like going for all the people, and if they just want money, I'll just send money, which is good anyway. But, you know, there's got to be ways to be really creative.
It's about engaging your donor base, and I can tell you specifically what happened with Special Olympics, because I was part of it. I did a virtual live auction. It was taped, and so, you know, it was very cleverly done. But so you're still raising that money. But what they did, they said, oh, we want everybody to have little viewing parties at their own houses. So for me, they said, you want to have 6 to 8 people at your house? I don't really want to have any more than that. I ended up having just a couple of people, but they sent goodie bags with, you know, all the usual things and a little Prosecco. So to your point, there were little bottles of Prosecco in the goodie bags that went to everybody. Hey, you think you can have a little viewing party? You're comfortable having it at your house? You don't have, like I said, you don't want to have too many people, but we can accommodate people in that regard. I think being creative on that front, on the how do we pull it off front, the production front, the if you have to have it with 300 people virtually and a handful on site, then you do it. But the key component here, the most important thing to think about, I think, is, yeah, somebody will send you money. Oh, you want money? I'll just send money. But you want to engage people. You want to remind them why the organization is special. You want them to go to the virtual event. You want them to go to, say, next year. If you can go in person, I hope we can. I know a lot of people can't wait to do things in person, you know, once the vaccine sort of takes hold and it's safe to come out again. But short of that, prior to that, if it's still virtual, you need to engage your donors. You need to engage your audience. And you need to let them know, here's what we're doing. And we haven't just been sitting idle during the pandemic. We're pushing forward, and we're trying to be creative and trying to figure out ways to serve those people that this not-for-profit serves.
I am picturing so many people with their little private events where they've got the event streaming from their big TV over their fireplace. They've got the whole place decked out. Maybe you have a valet parking cars down the road, and everyone's taking pictures of everyone in selfies at their own little events. Everyone, whose event are you going to go to? Whose event are going to you? So all these little sub-events off the main deal. And that's something that I don't think people would have thought about, but that would be a really cool way to do things.
No, it would. I mean, and really, you're making a great point here, Nick, about just being creative. How can we do it? And I understand that there are organizations out there that feel like they're too small, they don't have the bandwidth to deal with this sort of thing, and I totally respect that. But there's no reason you can't have a scaled down version of what we're talking about, or these little smaller micro parties where you still want to be able to tell your narrative. You still want to be in front of people and tell them why you are an important group. And I think there's so much value in that. And a lot of places they have, you know, they have good databases of donors. They have good support from people who are willing to say, yeah, just wait till next year. But you're right. Do you really want people that would be spending money with you, perhaps spending money with somebody else? And so I just think it's about having that audience, about letting people know we are problem solvers, we are continuing to do the work, and we are not going to let this unprecedented pandemic. Nobody has the, you know, nobody has the how-to book on this. This is all new for everybody. But how do you overcome it?
Another thing that's a benefit of overcoming this as we move forward is continuing to have that virtual option. So as you said, you're opening yourself up to a new world of supporters all over the place. And I think a lot of people have seen that in business this year as well, where their client who were used to hiring them used to be from locally, and they had to have the handshake and have all that. And I never will downplay that, but people have opened themselves up to doing business with people all over the place. And if you have a charity that is a very quality thing, that the world of social media, we have people who follow our things from here to Kingdom Come. And if they can be involved, that's why to continue having that in the future. And especially if you're someone in the Chicago area who wants to come to that, but maybe you're a donor who feels very strongly, you live in Springfield and that's just a bar drive, and you can still come to that event. Maybe you're someone like me and you're like, I'm in North Texas and I hear about that's a really cool event, I'm going to come to that too. It's the world is getting smaller and smaller. And again, as the idea of telecommuting, for example, back how many years ago would be unthought of and unheard of, you know, and that starts getting more and more appreciation. And now with this 2020, we're seeing more people accept it as normal. So as we accept some of these experiences and how we communicate as a normal thing in our business and in our churches and in our fundraising arenas, and everyone else gets more comfortable with it, and I think that fear factor dips off a little bit. So can we talk a little bit more about some of the logistics? We've seen the benefits. Those are great. But taping things, getting technical glitches, what if someone has – what if the power goes out somewhere? Do we need a backup generator? There's so many different things. So who do we go to who helps us, a one-stop shop, if you will, for producing all this?
Well, listen, there are some good production companies in every city. And I think it's – you know, I have two or three that would be my go-to folks here in Chicago. that I know do great work, and I trust them. And so what I do as a consultant is say, hey, organization, you need to get on the horn with these folks. They're going to tell you, if you want to do it big, here's how much it costs. If you want to do it small, here's what's entailed in it, and here's how much it costs. You need to have the people with the technical expertise that are going to have those things taken care of. So, yes, you lose power. What's the backup generator situation? How are we going to get this thing on regardless? And the other thing that a lot of people have done that, and when they've done it well, you don't notice it, is a lot of these are fully taped. I've been part of some that have been fully taped. So you would have, you know, Zoom. So you'd have content, say Zoom meetings, interviews with key stakeholders, or you might have a performance with somebody on Zoom. And so when I was hosting one, I would be in, it was the NORA project, which promotes inclusion in schools everywhere. So you get somebody, you get a high school student with somebody with a disability, and they're preaching inclusion. And Lauren Levy is the executive director. She is the queen. She knows everything. She was my co-host, and she and I taped these segments and be a lead into this. It'd be a lead into that. So you're taking out almost all the technical glitches because you're taping it. Now, we did do some live components because there was a part of the event where it was, okay, we raised $30,000. If we get to this number, we're getting a match from so-and-so. So we had to have two or three live segments that were in the same location on the same set that we taped everything at. But if you tape your tape it and then go to, say, interviews, hey, earlier I spoke with the executive, you know, the executive director or the board chair or whatever the case is about this or that. If you're able to do that, you take out any of the technical components most of the time. And having been in television my, you know, almost entire career, I don't always advocate for let's do it taped. But in this way, if you don't have like a tally board that you need to continuously update throughout the hour or so that you're going to have this event, if you don't need that, then you can do a taped event. You can have it in the can, as we say, and you know what it's going to look like before it even airs. But you want to have that immediacy. You want to have that energy. You want to make sure that whenever you're doing an event, you know, you want to sit there and have speeches. Maybe I don't love a lot of speeches, but a couple speeches from the key people that know what they're talking about. But also, what else are they doing? Highlight somebody that's benefited from the organization. Maybe there's a performance from somebody. Maybe there's something inspirational. There's ways around it, but it all starts with a good technical crew that you can pay. You know, they'll charge you a la carte for things. So you can say, I only need this, like I said earlier. You know, maybe you only need streaming for next year. So that's going to be smaller than, yes, we're going to bring our cameras. We're going to set up a teleprompter. We're going to do this, 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 and this. That's going to cost you more. Soundboard, the whole deal. If you can stream it, you know, but get somebody that you trust, somebody that knows the technical ins and outs, because I'm not a technical person, but I trust the people that know the technical side.
And websites are a perfect thing for this too. If you have an event, you could build a whole website just for the event, buy the domain. People don't have to click around and get lost. It's one domain, one thing to click on. Boom, you're there. You've got your live feed. Maybe you have your ticker things on the side talking about how much money we've raised. And you can have someone in the background who's working on that website and updating that as you're going. You could have a social media thing on
course.
The side. So many things that you can do that, like, because I just imagine all the troubleshooting meetings of like, well, what if this, what if that, and what if that? And there's answers to all these things. And then as I think that is moving forward, you call it your events that also, and yes, there's also a virtual option. And people and consumers will start to demand, just like now, consumers expect curbside. And I've been using curbside. A lot of my places around me are open, but I've gotten used to curbside. I like it. I'm ordering with apps on my phone. I'm going to pick it up. And I don't want the curbside to go away. So I think that a lot of the things that we've seen and adaptations through the pandemic are things that we will continue to incorporate in our lives. And everyone says, you know, of the back to the normal. I don't know that we want to get back to normal, because innovation comes through challenges and things that happen to us that affect our whole communities. And those innovations, it's problem solving is what moves us forward in, as a society, I believe.
Yeah, and you're not going to see the normal that we all remember is not going to be. There's going to be a new normal. It may resemble the old normal, but there, as you're, to your point, there are going to be workarounds. There's going to be creativity. You know, you said it earlier, and I couldn't have said it better, about the world getting smaller. I mean, really finding out that you had a national audience when before it was always local, you know, Chicago-based, if you're in Chicago, say. And all of a sudden people said, oh my gosh, I had all these people from out of town log on, participate, donate, take part. I don't want to give that up. It was an afterthought at the beginning. And once it happened, for more than one group, they said, oh my gosh, I want to have this every year. I don't want to give up the virtual component because that means my world got smaller. That means my audience got bigger. And if 250 people want to come to my event and 50 or 75 want to come online and watch what's going on, all the power to them.
Well, and it's just easier sometimes to say yes to a lot of those things. And you talked about earlier having 75 events in a year. I know that when being involved in Chamber of Commerce and, you know, whatever, when you're involved in many groups and you're involved in a community, the entire calendar is full of events and you have to pick and choose. And when I lived up in your area, I lived out in Naperville. And going to the city for an event, that was a big deal. That was how much time, how much parking, like, am I going to get, you know, are my nice clothes going to get ruined by snow and slush? There's a lot of elements there and a lot of things, you know, so to say, instead of doing that, everyone take the role and say, hey, I'm over here in Naperville. I'm going to invite other DuPage people to come over and we're going to have a little sub party here at our place. And, you know, and I don't think that's going to take away from people. I see objections, people saying, well, then no one's ever going to come to our events again. That is not true because people will weather the storm, be there for their personal interactions and seeing people. And, you know, so however they're greeting, whether they're, you know, hugs and kisses or, you know, an elbow bump, it's still nice to have that real human contact. And so I don't think that having an online virtual option in the future is going to detract from the success of the event.
No, I don't think so, because as long as you can get them in there, no matter how you get them in there. Now, you don't want to say, hey, we're counting on 250 people to show up, and 125 the last minute said, nah, I think I'm just going to watch it online. You don't want that event, but you just pointed out that what's so important, that we're social animals, that living life this way, isolated, is not the way we want to do it. People say, oh, gosh, I have Zoom meeting fatigue or whatever your delivery system is, and it's true, you know, but this is the best way to do things right now. But so people are going to want to get back to where they dress up. You know, my wife says all the time, oh, I have this beautiful dress hanging in my closet. I haven't had a need to wear it in 9 months. And I'm thinking about like having a, you know, wearing a tux or this or that, you know, things that we used to do. And now we don't do it because we're all virtual. People need that. But here's a point that you just raised. Right here in Chicago, the snow just started falling. And what happened if the event was tonight? And they have a winter storm warning, and you had every intention of going downtown, whether you're in Naperville or anywhere else, if you're in the Chicago area. And all of a sudden, instead of just not, you'd be like, I don't feel safe driving. What if you had the chance to go virtually? What if that was all you needed was the link? So you're still going to be at the party. You're still going to be engaging with people. It may not look exactly the way you want to, but just think about that. That's one example of many. But truly, you want to get as many people in the tent, the proverbial tent, as possible.
What does someone do if they are listening to this podcast as soon as they hear it and say, I have an event coming up in February? And I mean, here, real situation. I have an event coming up in February here in Denton County, Texas. We are open. It's a live event. People will be there. But I know that based on some of the last few things in the last few months by us, we've had significantly fewer people attend. So I have an event coming in February, and I say, I want to open this up to some virtual things. What are some things that, and now not having the advantage of planning the entire time for how do we incorporate virtual option, what are some things people can do in the right now?
Well, in the right now, if you're up against the clock, I would say don't be too ambitious. Like you said a little bit earlier, like smaller group gatherings, virtual gatherings, maybe you have a small one at your house and you're sending that out, you know, via one of the platforms, and you're able to engage people. But you want to engage your donors, your donor base. You want to let them know that you're still doing what you're doing. So it's very important to let them know, hey, during this pandemic, we're still taking care of the people that are benefiting from our services, and we need your help. We can't do it without you. And so what we've done is we've organized a different kind of fundraiser where it could be a smaller fundraiser, where you could bid on things online. I mean, there's lots of ways around it. There's lots of ways of taking the big event in person and pushing it to a website or pushing it to virtual. And that's just one way to do it. Hey, we've got some of these great items. Please bid online. And sometimes you don't have to bid within, you know, the hour or 2 or 3 hours that an event would be going on. You can bid like a few days before, a week before.
A few days.
So you open
right.
up the timetable to give people more time to bid on things. And then if you are in the position to, and I would say that if you're having it in February where, you know, time is ticking, that you don't want to be too ambitious. But if you could find a production company that you trust that knows the virtual ins and outs, and that's the key. Every good one in this day and age, they that's the way they've kept their business open. They were doing, hey, on-site events, that's their thing. And all of a sudden, there's no on-site events. Well, some people said, well, I give up. And others said, well, we need to be virtual monsters. And that's what they do. And so you need to find one of those that could help you with a online auction, that could help you with a maybe a scaled down version. And here's the other thing too. These events sometimes go 2.5, 3 hours if you're in person. Really, I mean, I've seen them go an hour and a half here. I think that's a little long. I think 45 minutes to an hour virtual event where you pack in, you know, if you have a little bit more time and you can conceptualize and really produce content, is give them lots of content, give them lots of moving parts and keep it nice and tidy. Don't try to do, okay, for 2 hours, we're going to give you this long speech. Make it quick,
right.
Make it impactful, and don't try to do too much.
And if you're going to have your party and your individual watch party, have people over for your social hour like you would before someone is presenting at
yeah.
any rate. Have music in the background, have the screen in the background playing nice music, and then when it's time for everyone to pay attention, they can, you know, and it's just a wonderful thing, and I think that as more people do this, we're going to find more people getting comfortable with it and people saying yes as more answers are there to all their questions and objections. So I think it's a really good thing. We're going to see more of it. Again, as you said, those who are in the forefront of more options for people and really having companies out there who do this and take some of the stress away, you know, we're going to see more boards of directors listening to pitches from different companies. You can put these things together and they're going to say, I like this. Let's not get rid of this because we're going to get a certain dollar amount from having these virtual things, again, from people all over the place. So eyes positive.
No, I do too. And listen, if anybody needs any help, and I'm not sitting here and, you know, trying to make it about me, but if you reach out to me at robjohnson@rj47llc.com and you have some questions or you want to know, okay, what's the roadmap? And if you're here in Chicago, I can make some great recommendations about who to hire and who to engage and best practices. I've been doing that with a couple of my boards and I've been doing that with a couple of my clients that have wanted to do this despite the fact the pandemic was going on. So I'm very happy to help in that regard and, just to start the conversation. So I hope that anybody that's listening to this would, and if they're of the mind that they, hey, we want to forge ahead and get this going, that they reach out to me.
Right. And also to my people here in North Texas, I say to them as well, contact me because some of Rob's people might able to help you as well. Or there are other people
Absolutely.
Here that Rob knows or I know that we can get connected. And it's not about any of us individually. It's about community and getting everyone engaged, entertained, and in the spirit of giving and helping all these groups. Because it's not just the groups that need us. It's all the people that those groups serve. And so when we don't do these and we put it off to next year, it's all the beneficiaries of these foundations who are the ones who really hurt.
Yeah, and you lose your audience. You don't want to lose your audience.
Right.
And so, yes, to your point that you made earlier, I'm willing to help anybody that's anywhere. So please, if you're anywhere, I know people all over the place, and I can do a little research if you're, say, in Atlanta or somewhere else. I mean, I can help arrange things like that if that's the case as well. But if you have any concerns about this, if you like what you've heard, if you want to hear more, I'm happy to continue the conversation. So just email me.
All right, great. Your email again is?
Rob Johnson, RobJohnson, at rj47llc.com.
All right. Well, Rob, thank you for your time being on the healthcare podcast with for Mike Fabia. I really do appreciate your time today.
Yeah, Mike's a great friend, and we've known each other for a long time, and I'm honored to be talking to you today, Nick, and I appreciate the interest, and I hope some of this information was useful for the folks that are taking part today.
Well, thank you. And I also thank everyone who listens to our programs and shares those when they find them on social media, because you never know who's looking for exactly this information. This program is brought to you by the Chicago Health Law and Professional Licensing Firm of Michael E. Fabian Associates, with offices in Chicago and Rolling Meadows. For introductions and referrals to healthcare professionals in the Chicagoland area, call Michael V. Fabian Associates at 312-609-6666. Again, this is Nick Augustine from Lone Star Content Marketing, and I thank Rob and everyone else who helped put this program together. I wish everyone have a happy new year.